Gospel distribution ministry presents Brother Julius Wilmy with faith building messages for the end time. Stay tuned and be blessed.
Let us gag our mouth, because life and death, they are in the power of the tongue. 1 Samuel chapter 25. It's the story of another man, not a ruler, but in his own house. Verse 10 to 11, I'll just point to this. He also speaks some things that put him in trouble. First Samuel chapter 25, I'm going to run along quickly. In verse 10 and 11 here, this is the story of a rich man, Nabal. I'm just going to point to how what he was feeling, how he felt about the situation around him, made him speak like this. And it almost destroyed him and his whole household because of what he said. The power of our tongue. Let's watch it. Verse 10 of chapter 25, 1 Samuel. This was the time when David the king, before he became king, he was running on in the jungles, hiding from King Saul. And then because him and his friends and about 600 soldiers with him that were hiding, they were like what you call fugitives. So they were fugitives from the real government. So anybody knows that in any country where there are fugitives and there are almost like political division in the country, some people will side with the king, some will side with the rebels. Let's call them rebels. Like American government, we always call those other countries where we have those we call themselves freedom fighters. While the people that supported the king, the current government, we call them rebels. Okay. But this is what was going on in Israel. So David would be classified as rebels, so hiding in the jungle with about 600 soldiers. But the current king, King Saul, with his soldiers were looking for David. So you can see that the country will be the some will support the king. Mostly the older people, while some they like the new man that was trying to be that they call rebels. So that was the political mindset that was going on when David sent his servants to this rich man to get some food. So you can read between the lines that rich man was one of them perhaps that supported the king, and he responded to David's men very harshly. In verse 10, after they came to the king to David to this neighbor. David's young man came and asked him that, hey, David said, well, we heard that you're having a party. Can you give us some of this food? And Nabal answered him in verse 10 and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have kept for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? In short, he just lambasted them. Tell him to get lost. And what he said there was his tongue, the word of his mouth. He just put danger upon his life because David was so angry. He came with those 400 soldiers to come and destroy this man and all his cattle and all his goods. And they get their soldiers. They were soldiers. And they were ready to come and kill him and his family and all that he has that day because of the power of his mouth. So that is an example of why we have to wash over our mouth. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the New Testament. The Lord, I'm saying this word of our mouth is much more serious than just claiming blessings, which is when you speak positive, you get some blessings. But you be watchful because you don't want to put snares upon our head. In the book of Ecclesiastes, the Lord gave us some warnings here in chapter 5, verse 1 to 6. Solomon said, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. Praise the Lord. Yesterday we were in the graduation ceremony of our sister and some of our young people that were graduating from Grand Canyon State University. And one of the guy that was being given the honorary degree was giving something in line with this. He said something about, I've heard it from other speakers. We have two ears and we have one mouth, which means you should listen more and talk less. Amen? I threw that in like extra. See, we have 2 ears, so that God intended us to listen more. One mouth, two. So you should do more listening than talk less. Amen? So this is what God is telling us in chapter 5 here, verse 2. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. Let thy words be few. And verse 1 that we've read earlier on said, be more ready to hear, that is, more ready to listen than to speak. Amen? And he went further in verse 3. He said, a dream comes through the multitude of business. A fool's voice is known by what? Multitude of words. And we all have to watch about that. When you are talking, talk less. When you are angry, even talk even lesser and lesser. Because when you are angry, angry words will be bringing the curses that God said, bless and not curse. Amen? So very important for you to watch for that. In verse 6, this is where I'm going. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Again, he's saying, don't let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. That's what you speak can make you sin. He said, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? For in the multitude of dreams are many words. There are also diverse vanities, but fear thou God. That is, from many words we can sin. From speaking too much. Not thinking of what you are saying before you say it, you may be in danger. Here's an example. In Luke chapter 1, we see the story of somebody that say unto an angel of God. So when God said before an angel, it's not just saying before men, even before God. Watch what you say. In Luke chapter 1, we see the story of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. Many of us know the story. It's just the word of your mouth can put you in danger if you are not careful. Just as it can bring blessing. In fact, I remember a pastor that said, as you say it, you are actually building moisture. If you are cursing, you are building a moisture of curses, cloud of evil upon you. If you are blessing, you are speaking blessing, you are building a cloud of blessing upon you. And whatever you are blessing, whatever you are cursing, you are doing something, you better be careful that you are not building clouds of curse upon yourself or upon anybody. Praise the Lord. Here is Luke chapter 1, verse 18. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, was met by an angel in the temple just to come and tell him about the birth of John the Baptist. And he spoke to the angel. Spoke his doubt to the angel. That's what God is saying. Don't suffer your mouth to cause thy body to sin. In verse 18, Zechariah said unto the angel, that's Luke chapter 1, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. He was doubting what the angel told him, that you are going to have a son by the name of John. And God is going to bless him. He's going to go before God. And he spoke back. So you may say, well, I just doubted. God forgive me. But God says, you have been taught. To whom much is given, much is required. So the more we know, the more we should begin to put them in practice. This is an example. God gave a great judgment on this man that doubted because he was expected to be a priest, a leader, greater condemnation. So remember that. We have learned a lot. We need to watch what comes out of our mouth. And we know the rest of the story. The angel told him, well, if you don't believe me, you'll be dumb. And he was dumb for about 10 months. He said, until the baby is born, he said, you will not be able to speak. And it happened to him. That's another example of why I said it's much more serious than what we are thinking about. So the words of our mouth, we need to wash over it. Now, what is the reason why all of these things are very important? Take, for example, when the Holy Ghost came, what was the first thing the Holy Ghost took over? When you get the Holy Ghost in the day of Pentecost, they spoke with tongues. Amen? God controlled, wanted to take control of your tongue if you will let him. Praise the Lord. Praise he the Lord. And another thing that I remember is this. You know, when you are encouraging people to speak in tongues, after you say, now say it, you know, just release your tongue. It's not as easy as just release your tongue, but it's easy. Let the Holy Ghost flow through. It's just going to move your tongue. The Holy Ghost will move your tongue himself when it's come upon you and he's going to begin to speak in tongues. But the first thing to do is to release that tongue. Let him control it, not you controlling it. But that is what God wants to do. He wants to control our tongue so that we can avoid all this evil that we are talking about, because the power of life and death is in the tongue, in the power of the tongue. Amen? So the Holy Ghost came first and he wanted to take control of our tongues. And Apostle James make it clear why that is necessary in James chapter 3 that we are trying to read. He said, that is how you control horses. Amen? If you want to control a horse, they put a bridle in his mouth and jack him around to turn his head to wherever he wants to go. And we are like horses. We are like wild horses for God, because God wants to ride upon these sons of God. He wants to be in us. He wants to ride upon us from the cloud of God's presence. That's God riding upon his horses. Instructions will come, and we are to obey those instructions. But if God speaks to you and he says, turn right, and you say, no, I've got to go straight. Turn right, and I've got to go straight. Then you are like a horse that needs to be jerked, because that is what the bridle is in the mouth of the horse for. And that was what James was saying. He said that a horse, they put bridles in their mouth to turn them around. Even the sheep, in the little mouth of the sheep, they turn the sheep around. And that is what God is saying. Be not like the horse or like the mule that has no understanding, that he has to jerk you around with pain to make you listen. He wants to control us. I mean, the tongue is the first thing he wants to take control of, so that you don't speak evil and you bless always. And there are blessings to go along with that. Praise the Lord. Here, some solutions as we wrap it up. Some solutions. Psalm 141, verse 3. Psalm 141, verse 3. Here is David saying, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. So which means the mouth is serious, like we're saying. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. And this is what the Lord say about the words of our mouth in Psalm 50. Just to point to the fact that it's just as serious as I'm saying, and we need to take it seriously. In Psalm 50, this is what God says about the wicked. Whom did God call the wicked? Verse 16, Psalm 50, verse 16. Here is what God says. Whom did God call the wicked? But unto the wicked God said. See, God is talking to anybody. God can say, this fellow is a wicked person. What has he done? Why do you call him wicked? What has he done? Here is what he has done. God said, what hast thou to do to declare my status? Declaring. The wicked is saying something. Or that thou should take my covenant in thy mouth. The wicked is still using his mouth for something. When thou sawest a thief, thou consented with him and has been partaker with adulterers, thou givest thy mouth to evil. Why is he talking about mouth? Is it the only thing the wicked is doing? Yes, God listens to what is coming out of the mouth. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if God wants to see how you are, he listens to what you are saying out of your mouth. And this is what he's saying he heard from the mouth of the wicked. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest. What slander? Mouth talking again. Thy own mother's tongue. So these things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thought I was altogether the same like you. So God is saying the thing that the wicked does, because of the heart is full of wickedness, the mouth will say it out. The logicalists talk about what can defile a man, because we want to be like Christ. Also, we are to come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. But he said, it's not what we eat. It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a man. It is what comes out of the mouth. You know, when we are little, we thought it means that you shouldn't throw up. No, it's not talking of what you throw up for your food. He said, from the heart, the mouth speaks. And he started telling us in, where he said, from the heart, the mouth speaks. This is what comes out of the mouth. And he wants you to control that mouth, Matthew chapter 15. This is what comes out, and that part of it is what defiles the mind. From the heart comes lying, adultery, because you have to plan it, you have to execute it with the mouth also, talking about it, and taking the steps. Matthew chapter 15, verse 18. He said, these are the things that defile a man, not what comes into his mouth, but what comes out of his mouth. Matthew chapter 15, verse 17 said, do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and it's cast out into the drought. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. So it's what's coming out of our mouth. He said, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders. He said, well, how can murder be from the mouth? Because he said, even if you curse somebody, you're already guilty of murder. Adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. He said, these are the things which defile a man. So God is talking about what comes out of our mouth. We need to wash and make sure that we don't let any of those things come out of our mouth. Praise the Lord. And some more Bible verses. Let's go to some Bible verses. These are some of the solutions we need to work on to keep ourselves from getting the words, evil words, out of our mouth. Colossians chapter 3. As I wrap it up, Colossians chapter 3, in verse 8. This is what Apostle Paul is telling us. This is how we can keep our mouth from talking evil. You have to put off the old man. And these are some of the things he said. But now ye also put off all this, because when these are inside, it will make the mouth speak the way you don't want to speak. When you feel one way, the mouth will want to speak that way. But if you speak as you feel, you most likely going to err. You have to control what comes out of your mouth, even when you are feeling horrible inside. So put off all this anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. Feel the communication out of your mouth. When you can control what comes out of your mouth is like by controlling what is in your heart, then you'll be able to speak the right kind of words that will not be a snare unto you. Then you'll be able to speak the blessings, like our brother said. Speak the blessings from your mouth always. Bless and curse not. God commanded us. Bless and curse not. Because what comes out of your mouth is power of life and death. Praise the Lord. There's another Psalm 73. In Psalm 73, David gave us another hint on this. Psalm 73, I will read verse 15. Now, David was describing how things were around him, how horrible he was feeling. Like I said, if you are feeling horrible, you are feeling so bad, control what comes out of your mouth, especially when you are talking to God or talking to people. Why? Because it is from your words that you can be offending God. Remember the story of Job. He was so full of trouble, but the Bible said in all those trouble, Job did not charge God foolishly, because God is waiting to hear him say something. When God knocked him down, rolled him over, took all his things away, God wanted to hear him say, I curse you, God. No, he didn't. And that all the test, and God said, Job passed. Very important. David was telling us, Job 3, all these things he said, he went through and he saw the wicked people were prospering, and he was being punished by God and just trying to chastise him every day. Anything he did, God is spanking him all around. And he said in verse 15, if I say, I will speak thus. Verse 14 said, for all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. He was complaining that look at the wicked are prospering. Look at that man, he's cursing God and he's rich, blessing. Somebody said, we don't need God here. We are rich. Go talk to the poor people. You say, well, and they are prosperous. And you, David said, I look at the whole world, everybody's prospering. He said, but me, I'm just being bombarded by all these things. He said, if I say I will speak like this, the way he was feeling, he said, I will hear. That's what he's saying. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. That is, if David have reported all of those things and said, God, you doesn't think you are doing this right, then we'll be thinking, well, maybe that's how God is. He said, I don't want to err and offend the generations coming after. Because we are looking at the life of David and seeing how he was blessed by God. But whatever he was going through, it was test. So control what's coming out of your mouth, especially when you are in trouble. Especially when things are not going right. Especially when the Lord is testing you. Because the only way you can hear is by speaking harsh words. Story of Job. Job chapter 2. Let me read that verse. He said, in all these things, Job did not hear. He did not charge God foolishly. To really make you know what the devil wanted Job to do, the devil put it in the mouth of his wife. Job chapter 2. Verse 1, chapter 1, verse 22, let me read that first. The Bible said, in all this, that is, in all the trouble Job went through, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. He did not charge God foolishly. And all this trouble came upon Job, God wanted to see him stand firm, because the devil said, he will curse you to your face. Let me do this to him. And he did not curse God. He just kept his mouth mute. In fact, the devil went around to tell Job what the devil wants Job to say. And that's why he went through his wife and said, then his wife, in verse 9 of chapter 2, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. Well, that's when I say, sometimes we do not know the power that is moving us. That woman didn't say out of her own. The devil went, once you look around, things are not right. They have lost everything. And her husband is dying. And she couldn't contain it anymore. Put yourself in her shoe. She couldn't contain it anymore. And the devil said, well, I got that woman where I wanted her. The devil just gave, let's just tell him this. And he just couldn't control his mouth too. He said, curse God, we've suffered enough. But why didn't she curse God? No, she wanted Job, because that's the devil. God is not testing the woman. God was testing Job. And somebody has to tell Job what the devil wanted him to do. And the devil wanted Job to do something. The nearest person that can tell Job is his wife. So he went to his wife and said, curse God, and that's all I want you to do. And Job said, no. Can we receive? See, that was speaking like one of those foolish women. Shall we not receive evil? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Amen? That's all we are saying. He did not sin with his lips. What are we saying? The word of our mouth is what is God is telling us to be careful of. When you are going through things, trouble, trial times, if you can padlock your mouth, padlock it. Amen? If that may be your salvation, padlock it. And just say, Lord, I cannot say anything. I don't know what's going on, Lord. I'm in your hand. I don't know what's going on, Lord. And the time is here for that to begin to happen. I was talking, I'm just going to wrap it up with this. I was talking yesterday to somebody who asked me that question in this party. He said, what is the Lord showing to you recently about what's going on? I said, well, wait a minute. Actually, I was saying, what is the Lord showing about this election? I said, well, I don't know what I've not even asked from the Lord, because I just love watching the American political system. I love just watching it, see how it's going to play out. But I said, look at this. We have had prophecies. We have had things. We are watching for signs, and those signs are lined them, four of them. The signs of the earthquakes. We, many of us that have been following the prophecies of the end time, they said there will be a big one in California. It's been prophesied in the 30s. We have heard about it. Now in the news, they said it's going to happen in the next 30 years. So they are not putting time on it. It's going to happen, a big quake in California. I said, that's a track we are watching. And then there have been prophecies, not from me, from many prophets, Brad Frisbee, William Branham, many people. They said there will be a powerful woman will rise up in this country. Well, we are seeing a powerful woman running for presidency. See, that's another track we are watching. And I said, well, we saw also that the prophecy said economic crisis. In fact, we always use the word inflationary depression is coming. So economic crisis is coming, and that will be how the man of sin will take over the world in trying to bring solutions. So we are seeing the first ever economic crisis coming to not just America, the whole world. So we are seeing another track. So we see three parallel tracks. And then the fourth one, we also know that during these terrible things, the Bible said, when the quakes will be happening, that's when God will be making this mighty revival that will take place among his people. And 2008, God has begun to tell us to begin to move. And we are beginning to see revival is coming. It's coming. We are just entering the water of it. So that's another track. From those four tracks, we know the end is near. So we need to do what? Look up for your redemption right now. Amen? Now, if we are looking up, what should we be doing? Get yourself closer and closer and closer and closer and closer still to the Ancient of Days, the High and Lofty One that inhabited eternity, whose name is holy. And how do we become holy? This is one of them, my brethren. The word of our mouth, wash over it. Why? Because he just mentioned it here. He said, this is how I know the wicked. Out of their mouth, all their evil things coming out. It doesn't say the wicked is only robbing banks. See, they are just speaking slander. They are cursing. All of those things are just as evil in the eyes of God as bank robbers. Amen? And then this is what he said we should be using our mouth to do. The same chapter 50 of Psalms. This is what we should be using our mouth to do. Even when things are going bad, use your mouth to do this. In chapter 50, the last few verses, this is what he said. Consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces. That's what God said in verse 22. Now, verse 23. Whoso offereth praise. Praise, that's from your mouth also. Begin to praise God. Even when things are not good, you praise him anyway. Then you are glorifying God. And then what more? And to him that ordereth his conversation aright. What do you mean by conversation? Order your conversation aright. The words of your mouth again. Then will I show the salvation of the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is what we should be using our mouth to do. Let's stand up to our feet. Begin to order your conversation aright. Begin to keep the guard over your mouth. That because that will be your holiness. Amen. That will be your holiness. And let's talk to the Lord and say, Lord, put a wash over my mouth, O Lord. Because in the days when troubled times will come, many people will deny Christ by just saying it out. In the days of the era, they say Nero. They bring the Christians and all you need to do is to just confess that this Jesus is nothing to you and Nero is your king. You may say, well, I will just know in my heart that, well, I love Jesus. But you want to say with your mouth that Nero is king or is God? Well, if you say that Emperor Nero is God, you can't say, well, I can keep this in my heart and say the bad one from my mouth. No. Because from the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. So you must control what comes of your mouth. Amen. You must control what comes out of your mouth. If I say I believe in Jesus, I just can't open my mouth and say, well, because of the situation, I will now say opposite. You cannot say opposite. You cannot say opposite. You still have to confess Jesus, like say you believe him. And there will be a time when it's only by that confession. In fact, they overcame the dragon by what? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. No matter what that will bring to us, we must speak the word of our testimony because it's going to come to that in the last days. So let's begin to pray. Just pray to the Lord. Talk to the Lord yourself and say, Lord, I never think this is as serious before that I should wash my mouth, wash over it in what comes my way, whether in anger, in frustration, or in joy and gladness, to be careful of what I utter for. Because when God brings these tests and blasts us on the right and the left, he wants to hear what will come out of our mouth. Are we going to blast God back? Or are we going to just praise him anyway? And praise him anyway. No matter how you are going through, praise him anyway.
This is Evangelist Julius Adewumi. Give your life today to the Lord Jesus Christ and be filled with the Holy Ghost. I pray, Lord, that you touch all the people that are listening, help them to understand and to follow thee and read the Bible in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Write to me and we shall send you some exhortation. Our address has changed. The new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027. Phoenix, Arizona 85050. Again, our new address is Gospel Distribution Ministry, Post Office Box 71027, Phoenix, Arizona 85050, USA. On the internet, www.gospeldistribution.org. Send us email on the internet to the webmaster at gospeldistribution.org. Thank you.